This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
That's Tiny Tim, and it's one of the least unusual tracks on the new CD, A John Waters Christmas. It's an anthology of catchy, entertaining, and ridiculous Christmas records selected by filmmaker John Waters. Waters has had a lifelong fascination with the odd and unusual. His movies include the cult classic Pink Flamingos, which established his reputation as the king of bad taste. His more recent movie, Hairspray, was adapted into the hit Broadway musical, and now that musical is being adapted into a movie musical. As we'll hear, the opening track of A John Waters Christmas has a special connection to Waters. Here it is, Fat Daddy is Santa Claus.
I'm Fat Daddy. I'm Santa Claus. Woo, woo, yeah. I'm Fat Daddy. The reindeer boss. And toys, you know I'm on my way to greet all the good little girlies and boys. Oh yeah, I'm Fat Daddy.
That's Fat Daddy featuring Fat Daddy from A John Waters Christmas. John Waters, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Who is Fat Daddy?
Fat Daddy was a DJ in Baltimore, one of the very most popular ones. When I was a teenager, he was on WSID, and later he was on the Buddy Dean Show, which I based Hairspray on, and he hosted Negro Day, and they actually called it that. And he would wear an imperial margarine crown and a long cloak. And he inspired the character that's in Hairspray, the movie, and the Broadway musical of Motormouth Maybelle. He talked like that fast, like, ooh, poppity diddle, I'm Fat Daddy. And he had this song called Fat Daddy that was a Christmas carol that was certainly a big hit only in Baltimore, as far as I know, and had been out of print for a long, long time. So that was one of the main reasons I wanted to do the John Waters Christmas, was to get the Fat Daddy Christmas carol back in print. In Baltimore in the early 60s, all cool white kids and all black kids listened to Fat Daddy. It was really the first way that we heard rhythm and blues. He then went on the Buddy Dean Show. He was very, very loved by the teen community and all the black community in Baltimore, certainly. We had great black radio stations in Baltimore, WSID, WEBB, WWIN, and sometimes if the weather was good, we could get WANN from Annapolis with Hoppy Adams, the only station that would play What I Say Part 2.
What was Negro Day like?
Negro Day was all black kids dancing, but the difference was on the Buddy Dean Show, they had regulars on White Day, which was every day, and that was a line in the Broadway musical, but basically, they had a white committee, it was called, and it was regulars on the show that got fan mail, and they did close-ups, and the committee had to come to work every day, really, and their job was to ask guests to dance. There was no black committee. They were just all guests, and it was one day, maybe a month, or I'm not sure how often it was on, but it was on, and Fat Daddy would be the host that day. There were no white people on Negro Day, and there were no black people on White Day, and the show later went off the air because of when it was integrated by girls that started ironing their hair instead of having teased hair. And, of course, in the movie, I gave it a happy ending. I integrated the show. That did not really happen in real life.
Mm. So what were the criteria that you used to select the records for A John Waters Christmas?
Well, I wanted to have an album that what it would be like if you came over to my house at Christmas and I got all my old records out and played you my favorite Christmas carols. I work with a guy named Larry Banishevitz who has this incredible record collection. I have worked with him since Crybaby on all my movies, and he helps me unearth. He has these insane Christmas classics, my kind of classics. classic. Certainly, I wanted to put songs on here that probably no one did know. Many of them, there's a few people know, like the Chipmunks and Tiny Tim, probably, but many of the other ones are almost unknown to most people. And I don't think any of these songs are campy. I think a few are awful, but they're so awful, they're perfect. And I don't think any of them really were hipster songs. I think that they were serious Christmas songs that somehow were just too eccentric or went awry for the regular public to ever really possibly have success with them.
Let's hear another song from a John Waters Christmas. This is a doo-wop track. It's called Christmas Time is Coming, a street carol performed by Stormy Weather. Why did you choose this one?
I chose it because it reminded me when I first grew up in Lutherville, Maryland, and near where I lived was a segregated little black part of the community. And a lot of the people that lived there walked past my house at night singing a cappella, and I'd be like an 8-year-old kid lying in bed at night and hear it. And I use that in Hairspray the movie very much, that image. And it just felt liberating to me to hear this music, and it sounded so beautiful outside my house. So it just seemed to be a Christmas carol that reminded me of that.
All right. Well,
and
that's...
I had a very white Christmas in all meaning of that word. And this was a little bit different and a little bit something that seemed more exciting to me.
Okay, so this is Christmas Time is Coming.
Do, do, do. Christmas time is here. Do, do, do. Christmas time is here.
Christmas time is coming.
Do, do, do.
There's snow falling on the street. The holidays are near.
Do, do, do.
Shoppers buying
do, do, do.
Christmas trees.
Do, do, do. We'll have a ball. Christmas time is here, Christmas time is here,
the New Year's Eve is coming, we'll all sing the old Lang Syne, I'll whisper in your ear, I'll be yours, so please be mine,
we'll have a ball,
we'll have a
dancing and all. Christmas time is here, Christmas time is here.
This is the time for love, this is the time for cheer.
It's a track from the new CD, A John Waters Christmas, and John Waters is my guest. There's a line in that song that sounds like the same line from the Dream Lover song, When We Get Married. We'll have a ball, dancing and all. I wonder who got it from who.
I don't know. You know, sometimes these songs, when I have the records, I didn't even have the dates on them. Some were later than you thought, and some were much earlier.
Yeah.
There's a song on here, Happy Birthday Jesus by Little Cindy, that's one of my favorites. And I have no idea when that movie came out. Is Little Cindy alive? Does she know she's back out there in front of the public? Because you listen to that song, and my imagination gets carried away. I think of maybe like in the South somewhere in some pitiful little recording studio, and Little Cindy, maybe the Jean Bonnet of her community, has been forced to come in there and sing this song in a torn Rhoda Penmark party dress, and even the mistakes are left in. There's only one take with Little Cindy. She didn't get a second take. And that's, to me, the most fascinating piece of the song, is trying to picture Little Cindy singing Happy Birthday Jesus. And later, Patti Page covered that song.
Why don't we hear it? This
okay.
This is Little Cindy, Happy Birthday Jesus, A Child's Prayer.
A house so quiet and humble, a child beside her bed, her hands clasped tightly, it's time to pray. So she bows her little head.
Happy birthday, Jesus. Mama said that you was near, and that you had a birthday this time every year. She told me how you listen to every word we say, and that you hear us calling in the night or in the day. She explained how bad they hurt you, those awful naughty men, but said you let them do it, for girls like me would sin. She said about the manger they took and put you in. I'd let you have my blanket if I was here back then. She said that you were watching everything we do.
That's another track from the CD, A John Waters Christmas, and John Waters is my guest. What were the records that you loved and hated most on the radio Christmas time when you were growing up?
I always really hated the little drummer boy. I wish Old Dirty Bastard. I wish Old Dirty Bastard had recorded that before he died. I think it would have been a great Christmas album. I hated the corny ones you just heard over and over, like the Muzak versions. I like sometimes when they did a punk rock version of it, mm-hmm. or if the Chipmunks did it, or I always liked a twist on it. Santa Claus is a Black Man, to me, is the mother load of all crackpot Christmas carols. Not because I believe Santa Claus is a Black Man is such an odd idea. It was just such an odd, great black Kwanzaa song that came out, and I remembered it from Baltimore, and I really, really loved it because it starts with a kid singing, and then the dad comes in, and then the mother comes in, and she sounds amazing. And it's almost like you expect the Chipmunks to come in, which they do on another record. The Chipmunks are a great presence in my life. We can get to that in a minute. But so this song I didn't have. Even Larry Benishevitz did not have this song, and I was the only one that remembered it. So I finally went on eBay and found it, and I had to bid and pay a lot of money, too. Somebody else wanted it. But to get the record, I had to get to find the information on the record of where to have Tracy McKnight, who was an amazing music supervisor, whose job it was to find all these people and make the two deals that you have to make to put out a record like this. You have to find the publisher, and you have to find the writer of each one of these songs. And they're very obscure. I talk to people in nursing homes. She found one in a nursing home. And a lot of times they hate each other, the writer and the publisher, because the record was not a success. So to find these people is a great snipe hunt, basically. And Tracy did an amazing job. She found every single one of them. There wasn't one song that I wanted that she couldn't find the correct people. So it's a hard road to do, to find these people.
We should hear Santa Claus is a Black Man. And so this is something you grew up with?
Well, I heard it in the 70s on the radio, and
I loved it. Yeah, you were already a filmmaker.
I was already on pot. I probably heard it on marijuana at that period of my life, and it was such a great song to me. It seemed liberating so much. And when you hear it today, when he says, Daddy, he had an afro like yours, happy Kwanzaa, oh, it's just great to me. It's just very, very touching to me.
This is Santa Claus is a Black Man from the new CD, A John Waters Christmas, and it's performed by Akim and the Teddy Van Production Company.
Yep, and Akim is the kid, and I guess Teddy Van's the dad, I would imagine.
All right. Well, I guess we'll never really know unless somebody calls us and tells us.
Okay. Please, little Cindy, if you're hearing this, call. What's a number?
Well, here's the record.
Hey, you want here?
Kimmy?
He looked a lot like you. He was handsome.
I can dig it.
He was black.
right on.
He had an afro, he was really out of sight. Now I'm going to tell everybody that I saw Santa.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Santa Claus is a black man. Santa Claus is a black man. He's handsome, blonde, with dad. Yes, Santa Claus is a black man.
That Santa Claus is a black man from the new CD, A John Waters Christmas. Waters will be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is filmmaker John Waters. He's collected his favorite Christmas records on the new CD, A John Waters Christmas. His movies include Pink Flamingos, Cry Baby, and Hairspray. Did you ever believe in Santa Claus?
Yes, I did believe in Santa Claus. There's a picture of me. My parents have a picture of myself sitting on Santa Claus's lap. Yes, I believed it. Sometimes I get confused and wonder if the Santa Claus knew my guardian angel. I always knew the Easter Bunny was a lie. All children do. I think Santa Claus should have killed the Easter Bunny because he ruins Christmas, because the Easter Bunny is why all children grow up to be heroin addicts, you know, because their parents tell them the Easter Bunny's true. They know it isn't. And then when they tell them later drugs are bad for you, they say, yeah, just like the Easter Bunny, pass the syringe. I really believe that the Easter Bunny is responsible for heroin addiction in America. But Santa Claus, I did believe in. And eventually you hear things in school, and it is weird that your parents lie to you about all that early. But I guess it's fair. It's a good belief. I do like Christmas for real, without irony. So obviously I had a happy home at Christmas. There's a picture in my parents' scrapbook that always sort of sums up what my life was going to be like. I guess I was about 10 years old, and I'm under the tree with my presents, and in one hand, and I have a hand puppet because I had asked for that, and I was a puppeteer at children's birthday parties at the time. And on the other hand is the Genius of Ray Charles album that I had asked for. And it's such a weird picture because my parents went and bought me that album. And I guess that showed that even though they knew then I wasn't fitting in, that they were supportive as they knew how to be at the time.
Oh, that's great. Now, I'm amazed that you do Christmas without irony at your house because, I mean, you seem so constantly
now
to be
you
about
mean,
irony.
Oh, no. Well, no, I do love Christmas today without irony. I'm not saying there isn't some irony in my house at Christmas. Certainly, my sister-in-law does a wreath for me out of sticker bushes that rips at your clothes and scratches you when you come in my door. Someone did make for me a set of Christmas balls that are serial killers that actually it was a funny gift. You can make them for your friends, too. You could make badly dressed terrorists. You could do all sorts of themes. You just buy cheap Christmas balls and cut pictures out and glue them on Christmas balls, and it looks nice. It's a nice gift you can give other people at Christmas, your family. If you've run out of ideas, I might suggest that.
I guess I'd be disappointed if you did anything without a degree of bad taste and irony. But what's the non-ironic part of Christmas for you?
Well, you know, I have three brothers and sisters, so every 4 years it's my turn to cook the whole Christmas dinner for my family, my parents, and I do that. I did it last year, so I have 3 years off now, and I can go to the other ones. Certainly, Christmas morning, my parents come over, we give each other presents. I don't think there's a lot of irony involved in that. You know, I don't give my mother whoopee cushions or anything. You know, it certainly is as traditional as it can be without being, you know, ridiculous. It's not Leave It to Beaver's family. But certainly, I do like Christmas. I've had the same Christmas party for 40 years. In the early days, it was always at least 100 people. And in the early days, every person was expected to buy a present for all 100 people. So there would be 10,000 presents in the house. And those were the days when you could find things for a quarter in a thrift shop. But it was frightening when everybody started opening them. It was an orgy of gift opening.
Wow.
I still have to buy about 70 Christmas presents every year.
Where do you go shopping for Christmas gifts? Do you do flea markets? Where do you go?
No, I don't do flea markets, actually. I mostly give everybody I know books. Almost every person gets books. So I go to bookshops, and there's special ones I go to in each city. I can't wait to go to San Francisco. My favorite bookshop is there called K.O. Books that specializes in uncollectibles. It's amazing.
They uncollectibles? What is that?
Yeah. Well, it means like movie tie-ins, movie novelizations, sex books. They have a whole series about abortion, juvenile delinquency. It's the most amazing bookshop, and you can find the best gifts there because it's very greatly priced. It's fairly priced. And there's books you've just never seen there that are so hilarious. And it's a great place to find good Christmas presents. And I don't own it. I'm not giving it a plug of something I own.
Filmmaker John Waters will be back with more music from his CD, A John Waters Christmas, in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with filmmaker John Waters. He's best known for his cult classic Pink Flamingos, which established him as the king of bad taste, and Hairspray, which is adapted into a hit Broadway musical. He has a new CD called A John Waters Christmas, collecting some of his favorite Christmas records. Let's hear another track, and this is a real strange one. This is one of those like really strange singing voices.
Is it a nasal one?
Yes,
I love a nasal voice. Is it Sleigh Bells, Reindeer and Snow?
Yes,
I love her. I think she has. I love a nasal voice. If you've got a cold, come over to my house and sing to me. And it all started from Rosie and the Originals. Remember that song, Angel Baby?
Oh, sure.
It's just like heaven. And also Shirley of Shirley and Lee, who's maybe one of my favorite female vocalists in the history of rhythm and blues. So I think they started a school of nasal voices. And this little moppet either has a cold or she's in the same school of singing. I'm not sure which.
So here's Sleigh Bells, Reindeer and Snow, sung by Rita Fay Wilson from A John Waters Christmas.
The ground is covered with white. Santa's coming tonight with dolls and toys for girls and boys and a merry ho ho ho. There'll be sleigh bells, reindeer and snow, and a merry Christmas. Santa's bringing a sled painted yellow and into bed, cover over your head, and lie there still until you hear that merry ho 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 with his sleigh bells, reindeer, and snow.
So, John Waters, what made this track worthy, either good enough or bad enough, to be included on A John Waters Christmas?
Well, I don't think it's bad enough at all to me. I think it's one of the most unironic songs on it. I think it's catchy. I think she has a lovely voice, a touching voice. It's kind of a lonely Christmas song, but kind of a beautiful song. In maybe a neighborhood I've never been to, or maybe a part of America that is isolated or remote, but at the same time, I think it's joyous. I think she has a lovely voice, and I, you know, I'd like her to be with her at Christmas, and that's why I brought her voice, so she can come into other people's homes, because I mean it for real. She is the best of what you're supposed to celebrate at Christmas. It is a joyous sound. Now, to me, joyous is always not hackneyed. It's not too sentimental or it's overly sentimental, but it's something that's new to you. I always like to discover a new voice, a new sound, and this certainly was a new voice to me.
Now, let's reminisce some more about John Waters' Christmas past. Mm-hmm. What's one of the best and worst gifts you've ever gotten on Christmas?
Well, books are always the best present, you know, always, especially because I collect books and I have a library. And I actually have a registry at my office. It's like a bridal registry where so, because people always don't know what to give me. So they call and I have all prices, whatever you'd like. Here's the different selections. So I get really good presents at Christmas. I think my friend Dennis Dermody, who's a film critic for Paper Magazine, gave me my favorite. He found for me something that I had been looking for. After Peyton Place came out, and you and I have talked about Peyton Place on other shows, but after the movie came out, the television show, after it was totally exploited, there was a series of cheap paperback books based on Peyton Place, not written by Grace Metellius, but there was 20 of them, like Love at Peyton Place, Horror at Peyton Place. They were the cheapest paperbacks, and he found on eBay, buying them one at a time, all of them. I think that was the best Christmas present I ever got.
Wow. So are most of the things on your list like books and records that you want that are hard to find?
Yes, mostly always books. And I also am a big fan of Buildings of Disaster. Do you know what they are?
No.
Buildings. Oh, they're amazing. No, it's Buildings of Destruction. I'm sorry. They come out, and they're produced by this guy named Boyden in New York. They're amazing. It's a limited edition. They're $95, and it started with, and they all look the same. They're gray metal, but they're all buildings where terrible thing happens. The first one that came out was the Unabomber's Cabin. I bought that. But they have Waco. The new series that just came out for Christmas, they have Ford's Theater. They have the motel where Martin Luther King was shot, and they have the Empire State Building with a hole in it when the plane hit it. These are amazing pieces, and I collect them. They have Princess Diana's Tunnel. They aren't like cheap plastic. These are really well made. They're art pieces. So I'm a big fan of that. That's on my Christmas list.
Now, one of the things you do every year is create your own personalized Christmas cards. And
yes.
One of those cards is on the front of your new CD, and another one...
That's an old one. Yeah, an old one. I had more hair, you can tell.
Right, and another one, is it on the liner notes it's on the back of? Yeah, it's on the back of the liner
notes.
Well,
that was the Christmas ball last year with the plastic dead roach in it. Yes.
Yeah, why don't you describe these?
Well, that was one of my best ones. It was hard to top that one. It was a real Christmas ball you hang on the tree that said, "Season's Greetings, John's Waters." But inside it was a dead plastic roach. And it really looked real. And people threw them. It really was a good one. I think people saved that one. I hope that goes on ironic Christmas trees everywhere. This year is different. This year I have, you open it up and it's a picture of myself and a baby. And really, people think, oh my God, did he have a baby? Is this another gay person that had a child? And I think this was my comment on it because I'm, you know, as I said before, gay people have more children than Catholics now. It's confusing to me. So this is my fake child. His name is Bill because I had an old Christmas ball in my closet. And I thought, that said Bill on it? I thought, who is Bill? I don't know anyone named Bill, but I've had it for years. And I read this article in the paper about these women that make something called reborn babies. And they take dolls and take them completely apart. And it took 8 months to build this. And you give your insight, too. And I said I wanted an angry baby with bad hair. And they made this whole baby. They paint on the veins. The lips are moist. It is the scariest thing in my whole house. When it finally came, and my assistant wrote the adoption letters for it and everything. You really had to do this kind of thing. And she says that I can't take it to New York because I'm ripping it from her womb. But it sits on my couch, and it still frightens me every time because it looks completely real. Now, it never cries. It knows no one will come. And it is not allowed to accept gifts at Christmas because that's the last thing I wanted people to give me this. But when I ordered it, I did say to the woman who made it, well, I knew it was full body. And I said, well, is Bill circumcised? And they said, no, he is not. And he said, well, he has to be. I'm Catholic. And she called back a week later and said, the operation was a success. It was astounding to me. It still scares me. It's the scariest thing in my whole house. And believe me, I've got some scary things.
Well, you sent one to me, and I had a debate with somebody I work with about whether this was a real baby or a doll.
And, well, on the back,
it says, yeah, well, am I going to trust you?
No, it's completely true what I wrote on the back.
Yeah, well, because it looks, it's a two-dimensional image this photograph. So in two dimensions, it looks real.
It's really frightening. When you hold it, it weighs the same as a baby. Its head falls back. And it's really creepy. And it has real eyes in it. I'm quite fond of it, but it sits on the couch. And people are really, my parents... Really, when they came over and I said, have you met Bill? And I took them. My parents had their 60th wedding anniversary, and I didn't try to ruin it by bringing Bill. But I did have Bill in the trunk of a car, and I asked just to show all my nieces and nephews. I said, come out. I want you to meet your new cousin. I opened the trunk, and there was Bill. And they all started really laughing except one who said, that's sick, Uncle John. You are sick. But I just thought the kids would like seeing Bill. And it was hot. It was summer. I was afraid he was flushed, keeping him in the trunk. And you get a letter saying, never keep this in your car because the police will break the windows and stuff because it looks so real.
It's fitting that you should have this on your Christmas card because you were just in Seed of Chucky. And of course, is like a demon doll.
Well, I thought Chucky and Bill could have a play date.
Oh, great idea.
Maybe Chucky could come over and they could hang out one day.
What was your part in Chucky? I missed Seed of Chucky.
I played a paparazzi that Chucky's transvestite son Glenn accidentally kills me, and then Chucky is proud because he's on the route of becoming a serial killer and following in his father's footsteps.
I could see why you were cast in this.
Oh, yes. And it was fun. We had to shoot. Well, it was fun. I don't know. We had to shoot it in Bucharest. So because all the Chucky movies have to be built inside because they have to be built high up so the puppeteers can work all of the puppets, the mechanical things underneath the floors of all the sets.
My guest is filmmaker John Waters. He has a new CD called A John Waters Christmas. He'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is John Waters, the filmmaker and screenwriter and writer. And he has a new CD of Christmas songs called A John Waters Christmas. And, of course, John Waters is probably most famous now for his movie Hairspray, which is adapted into the Broadway musical, which is going to be adapted into a musical film. Okay, it's time for another track from A John Waters Christmas, your new CD. And I'm going to go with something very conventional here. Because okay. Most of the records we've been hearing, we don't really know the genealogy of the recording because they're like found records. But this is Alvin and the Chipmunks,
mm-hmm.
Which you say figured prominently into your childhood.
Yes.
I think everybody who grew up in, I guess it was like the late 50s, mm-hmm. grew up with Alvin and the Chipmunks. Why do you care about them?
Well, I think they're sexy, actually.
You think they're sexy?
A bad boy in a band. Actually, in real life, if people talk fast, I'm turned on. I'm always hoping that someone will be talking so fast that they go into chipmunk talk, and then I can ask them to marry me. I have the hots for the Chipmunks, Terry. It's a hard thing to explain. I like a bad boy in a band. Wasn't that Alvin? There was also fake chipmunks that tried to rip off their title called the Squirrels. They were lower-level chipmunks. I love the idea. Sometimes I can make all my records be sung by the Chipmunks if you just play it at the wrong speed. The difference is the Chipmunks, the music is at the right speed. The voice is at the wrong speed. So I've always been fascinated by them. I want them to continue. The Chipmunks can't die. I don't get why there's not new Chipmunk songs. I've just always been fascinated by them from the moment I heard them. They even did a punk rock album that was quite good, too, that came out in the 70s.
The Chipmunks did a punk rock album?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chipmunk Punk, it's called. I have it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
So I want them to do a rap album. Wouldn't the Chipmunks rapping be great?
So this is Alvin and the Chipmunks singing Sleigh Ride from the new CD, A John Waters Christmas. Alvin and the Chipmunks, featured on the new anthology A John Waters Christmas, and filmmaker John Waters is my guest. John Waters, let's talk about some other things going on in your life now. Now, your film Crybaby is being turned into a Broadway musical,
yes.
Following on the heels of the very successful, still successful Hairspray, which is, there's productions, I think, around the world of that now.
Yes, there is, yes.
And
there's going to be more. I can't wait to see the high school ones. That's when I want to go and watch.
Oh,
I
hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Summer camp productions.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Hospitals. Institutions.
Have you
reform schools. That's
reform
where I want to go.
Perfect. Yeah. Have you gone to other countries to see it there?
No, it hasn't really opened except in Toronto. I saw it there. It is going to come to a lot of other countries, though. But I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it because the deals are still, you know what I mean?
Oh,
but
it is coming
to about four or five different countries, yes.
Okay. And are you working on the film? It's so confusing because your movie Hairspray was turned into a Broadway musical, and now that musical is going to get turned into a musical film.
Well, that's just beginning. I'm hoping I get the job at Craft Services on this movie. That means giving the food to the people. No, that's all in. We're figuring that out right now. Certainly, I very much lobbied for Jack O'Brien to be the director, and it is the director of the Broadway musical, the writer, the choreographer, Jerry Mitchell. So I'm very happy that it is going to be the people making the movie that were involved with the Broadway show, because that does not happen sometime.
Would you be interested in recommending some good movies for the holiday?
Yeah, I know a movie I really, really like that's in New York right now, and it's called Jesus You Know, and it's made by this guy named Ulrich Seidel, a director in Vienna I like very much, who made a really depressing movie called Dog Days that I liked very much. It's just people coming in churches and saying their prayers out loud to the camera, which is one of the most maddening films I've ever seen. And you realize that if the whatever the supreme being is had to listen to really what everybody say in their prayers, he or she would lose their mind from listening to people's prayers. And it's an amazing movie. I'm amazed that it has distribution. The only other woman in the theater when I went was the woman in that documentary Cinemania that goes to five movies a day.
Yeah.
And she was there. And I feel so bad because I'm just so amazed that this movie got out there. So I would recommend seeing that quickly. That's my favorite holiday movie.
Do you have any favorite, like, Christmas movies?
Yes.
That you would recommend for renting on the holidays?
Yes. It's called Christmas Evil. And it's about a guy,
a lonely man.
Christmas Evil. It's about a lonely man that one day while he's shaving with shaving cream on his face realizes he looks like Santa Claus. So he gets a job in a toy factory. He starts spying on children. He gets a little book and writes down good little boy, bad little girl. He starts cross-dressing as Claus and passes. As Christmas gets near, he creepy crawls around people's roofs and finally takes the plunge on Christmas Eve and goes down a chimney, gets caught, stuck, irate parents, starts screaming. He panics, grabs a razor sharp ornament off the tree, cuts the parents' throat, and run. And then there's a mob of parents trying to get him, but all the children in the community believe he's real, and they perform a protective ring around him, and then he takes off on the sleigh, getting away with murder. It's an amazing movie.
Is it a comedy or a horror film?
To me, it's a religious film. It's, I suppose, a horror film.
Well, I'd like to close with another record from your anthology of John Waters' Christmas, and I'm going to let you choose this last one.
Well, the song I'd like to play is one that I think it's a touching, beautiful song. It's called Santa Don't Pass Me By. It's kind of a lonely song about a man who wants to get home for Christmas, and he's hitchhiking, and he's hoping Santa will pick him up. I love to hitchhike. I still do. It's my midlife crisis. I hitchhike a lot, actually, in the summer, and I have a sign in Provincetown that says the beach where I go, and I have hitchhiking dates. I ask people, you want to go on a hitchhiking trip with me? And it's a great fun for me. It's my midlife crisis. Other men get sport cars. I hitchhike. So I wanted to, it was important to me to have a song on there about hitchhiking. And I guess that would be the ultimate ride, wasn't it? If you're hitchhiking and Santa Claus picks you up.
A nice fantasy. Well, John Waters, thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. And happy holidays and Kwanzaa.
And thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Terry, for having me.
And here's more music from John Waters' new anthology, A John Waters Christmas.
I'm gonna hitch a ride with old Saint Nick, for I'm sure he'll pass your way. Yes, I'll be home for Christmas if there's room on Santa's sleigh. He'll have lots of toys for girls and boys. Wish I were hanging on your tree. Yes, I'll be home for Christmas if Santa makes a place for me. Please, please, Santa Claus, please don't pass me by. Would be a shame, so many smiling, if I were left alone to cry.
John Waters' new CD of his favorite Christmas records is called A John Waters Christmas.